Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we got involved in some conversations we really didn't need to, as is often the case.
Involving Yvette Fielding and Dion Dublin.
Exactly, as you'll be hearing. We talked a bit of Spurs with Theo Delaney from the Spurs Show podcast. We also chatted to a former Manchester United youngster, should I say, for a series of odd coincidences. He never quite left the club behind. Not that he wanted to. His name is Nicky Welsh and he has a new book out. We talked we didn't talk T20 cricket. That's
talked the 100.
The 100, that's right. Ben Bloom from The Telegraph joined us to talk about the 100 and the idea that the wickets will not be out, and
wickets will be out.
Wickets will be out. So yeah.
It's near the end of the show.
It's been a long day. Yeah. It's been a long day.
Yeah. And you haven't even heard my DIY problem yet.
No,
but this may be in the podcast. It may not. Who knows?
We don't know. And also, we talked about the fact that Sheffield United are looking to Belgium to find their new manager. The manager of Ostend could be on his way to Bramall Lane. So we bring you the tail end of that for a reason. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. I admit I took a night off last night.
I've
caught up with the highlights, but I looked at those pictures and I thought, you know what? I think I've earned the right to. And I thought, there's not going to be a whole lot coming out of those two games. I went for a nice walk and it was nice to see people. I sort of felt, I wouldn't go as far as say emotional, but it was nice to see people out having a nice time out in.
Did you go to a pub?
No, I didn't. And then it was nice until we turned a corner and three very drunk men were singing "Who Let the Dogs Out?" And I thought, maybe we could close pubs for another couple of months.
We haven't
learnt our lessons, have we? But the VAR was hilariously bad at West Brom, wasn't it?
It's a new one, isn't it? A new. We didn't have a decent camera angle.
Two different angles.
Yeah, that really did take some doing.
Where his legs are.
It was interesting talking to Kevin Hatchard yesterday. Maybe the secret, German football expert, maybe the secret is that you just don't see it. It wouldn't annoy you so much if you did. If somebody just said in a box in Stockley Park, "That's offside." You know, if that was the norm, you'd have to accept it. Because in Germany, they don't show you it.
So there are two schools of thought.
They don't
show
you all those lines rocking and rolling and saying, "We didn't have a camera angle." They just say, "Nine."
So in the Australia version, you get everything. You hear everything, you see everything, and that kind of works.
Which is what I kind of prefer.
Probably. Or you get absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So like we could have lots of adverts, or they could just play, you know, the best goals.
Yeah.
From like the last
20
years.
So what we've got now is this pointless halfway house where we only get like some of what's going on. We don't hear the reasoning for it. We do see the rocking and rolling of the lines and we discover why they've arrived at a decision and it makes them all look stupid. So, but then we don't actually hear them say it. So God bless them. We've got the worst of all worlds.
You just have to now accept that it's ridiculous. Yeah. And then if you find humour in that, it's okay. And that is fine unless it's your team. And it'll happen to your team at some point, but it'll probably all even out over the centuries.
You can't look at that. You know, you can't have that attitude at all. You know, these things even themselves out over the course
World
of
Cup
a lifetime.
Final, but it's all right.
You wouldn't look at your life like that. Would you, or do you? Maybe, so there are people out, maybe I should write a self-help book where you build, you know, you say, well, you know, these things even themselves out over a lifetime.
It's
true.
I'm not a trained psychologist and I don't know if that would work.
You could have been, you never really bothered.
No, everyone everyone came in and sat on the couch and they said, I've had a terrible time. Yeah. I've lost this person. This relationship isn't going well. And I just, every single answer would just be, I'll even itself out over the course of the life. You know, crack on.
Exactly.
You know, job done. I just, you know, 1 hour, that's all you need. 1 minute is all you need from psychology with
what
Max.
What football, cliched football management can tell us about life by Max Rushton, who'll be signing copies in Waterstones.
Yeah. And if they say, I'm terribly sad, I just say, not for me, Clive. I think you're happy.
Yeah.
Off you go. And I, Everton as well. I'm trying to think, do you think Everton are the hardest team to support? Just kind of, they give you a
team to support,
a kind of bit of hope. But at
the end
of the
day, if you're a Grimsby fan, you'd probably beg to differ.
No, but it's
you?
Different. It's different because expectations also come into it.
Yeah.
So I'm a Cambridge fan. Actually, I have no expectations. I know we're second in League Two. Odds are we will get promoted, but I don't believe it for a second. And if we do, I'll still be surprised. So Everton fans have much higher expectations than that. You, as a Spurs fan, you have higher expectations. But Everton, it just never quite. You just sit there going, God, they messed it up. Like these two results. I mean, that is flat.
There are a lot of players out.
They
last
did,
night.
I know, but still. Yeah. I sympathise with Everton fans. I think it must be a hard team to support.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the teams below them, you know, there are lots of teams who have less money and worse players and don't finish
but
as high.
You're talking about, you know.
If you balance the expectations, I mean, it will even itself out over the lifetime.
It will even itself out.
Everton fans need not to worry. Don't get in touch.
Everton
not interested.
Fans have
it's
got
fine.
Title wins and cup finals. Yeah. It has evened itself out over a lot. I suppose it depends when you're born and when you die, doesn't it, really?
But those two things also make a big difference to your whole life in general.
Now, that's very true. Alexander Blessin.
B-L-S-S-I-N.
Alexander Blessin.
No apostrophe.
No G. Now, he is looks like he could be off to Sheffield United. We're going to find out a bit more about him from our Belgian football expert. He's been at Ostend to the Premier League / Championship. Sorry, Sheffield United fans. Is not a leap that people normally make, but this guy has got some pedigree and he's done a rather good job.
Yeah.
So we'll find out a bit more about him later on. Dale Vince is on the lookout for a new gaffer currently. They parted company, as we like to say in football, at the weekend with Mark Cooper. So I would imagine he's been inundated. I think he says he's had. He's quite open-minded as he goes in search of a new one. So we'll look at the process that the person in charge of a club goes through to sign a new gaffer. We would like some TV formats for Alexander Blessin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get him some,
Do you want a couple?
Work. Yeah, go on then.
Jim says, Brian Blessin, where the premise of the show is Alexander Blessin grows and maintains a magnificent beard, all whilst shouting conversation. Woody says, Blessin in disguise. This is D-I-S-S, skies, S-K-I-E-S. Alexander Blessin visits the town of Dis in Norfolk to discuss the various cloud patterns and weather conditions.
Well, that's one for like
National,
a good watch.
For Nat Geo, that one, isn't it? So, yeah, keep those coming in. If you would.
Yes, if you would, we'd like some TV formats for Alexander Blessin. There's probably about three or four key ones or core ones, and then there'll be variations. Then it'll run out of steam. So, but these things sort of average themselves out over the course of a show.
They will, yeah.
We'll see what happens. Also, jazzing up the 100. We're going to talk to Ben Bloom from The Telegraph. You probably heard yesterday that we're going to see some changes in the 100. We're going to not have outs, wickets. Sorry, wickets will be known as outs.
Absolutely, yes.
In the 100, Sam Curran will be renamed Maureen Blenkinsop for the 100. So all bets are off. So we just thought there might be some other. Ben's had some nice innovations, some of which we used to do kind of on the field and in the playground. Remember six and out?
Yeah.
Used to play six and out.
Great idea.
Let's bring it in for the 100.
Okay.
It seems they've
tip
decided.
And run. Tip and run, of course.
Tip and run, yeah, that's right. So we'll look at some of the other things he suggested and what he makes of this idea of sort of. Because ultimately, if you don't like cricket, you probably won't like the 100.
You might con a few people.
Yeah, you might. I mean, if you've hated cricket all your life, these kind of little cosmetic tweaks may not change your mind. It may introduce a new audience to it. We'll find out.
I tweeted this out as well. You know, new terminology for cricket.
Yeah.
Obviously, with wickets now being outs. Gray Nichols got in touch.
Oh, good.
If bats aren't called ball slayers, we want no part of it, say Gray Nichols.
Ball slayers.
Yeah,
that's good, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So, look, plenty of those, please.
Keep them coming. Some innovations, and we'll put some of those to Ben when we discuss it later on and read about during the show. Talksport.com, text 8 to 89, tweets TSHNJ, that's TSHANDJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talksport.
Michael Hawksby, Matt Rushton here on Talk Sport. As we look at ways to jazz up the 100, it strikes us that people are already trying these things and have in the past. Rob says, 1 year out of five over Poseidon Beach cricket event in Phuket, on my suggestion, a team could nominate one over to play their joker to score double runs. I could see that in the 100, all bets are off. I made sure I wasn't playing. It was a giggle, but it wasn't for pros with millions of pounds chucked at it. Well, then it's not a bad idea. Play your joker.
Absolutely brilliant.
You get double runs. A good idea, Rob. Anyway, keep them coming.
Josh says it should be played in the dark. Glow in the dark, face paint and ball. Be an amazing watch. His other idea of a square ball is not so much, but glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark cricket for the 100. That would be good, yeah.
Excellent. What a good idea.
Keep coming, then we'll discuss it a little bit later on. But first, it's confirmed earlier on today that Tottenham and Manchester City fans will be guinea pigs at another test event. And I think they're going to have a couple of thousand fans each. There'll be 8,000 in. Key workers will be looked after and locals in Brent as well for the game, Carabao Cup final. So 2,000 apiece for the Tottenham fans and the City fans, although I think City fans may find themselves getting a few back because I'm not altogether sure Spurs will sell their allocation the way they're playing at the moment.
If I had a chance.
Joining us now to chat about that and the ubiquitous Harry Kane question, Theo Delaney from the Spurs Show podcast. Hi, Theo.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. I mean, the details have emerged today, what City and Spurs fans will need to do. Two tests. You have to have an official test. You have to go to a centre and get an email or a text that you can show on the day. You've got to fill in an identification form. It will be like about a tenth full of the stadium, so the atmosphere won't be stunning. And you know what? I think not for me. I don't know how you're feeling about it. Are you going to reply?
No, I feel exactly the same. I mean, you know, all that rigmarole, the likelihood you won't get one anyway after going through all the rigmarole. And then, yeah, sitting in a half-empty stadium watching what promises to be rather a one-sided football match. It could be a depressing experience, I think. So, no, it doesn't appeal to me at all.
I mean, my guess is what will happen on the day is that Tottenham will go 1-0 up. and then in the 55th minute, Kane will be taken off. And
Tanganga will be brought
Sissoko,
on.
Tanganga or Sissoko right, will yeah. come on. And then it will go 1-1. Then it will go 2-1 to City with 5 minutes left. And then we'll sling on three strikers and hit the post twice but lose. Does that sound at all familiar?
I mean, it's hardly worth playing the game, is it? You've basically just described it in great detail with extraordinary accuracy. Yeah, that sounds disturbingly familiar.
I was just talking about how difficult it must be to support Everton, where you sort of occasionally have hope and then it really hurts. And you know, I don't, you know, Tottenham are inverted commas my big team who win things. I might need to swap Cambridge and Tottenham around.
The team who win things.
Yeah, well, I know.
Wow.
And but you know, I'm not dyed in the wool, right? It doesn't ruin my weekend. It's if they win, I'm happy, and if they don't, I'm like, well, sort of used to it, I guess.
Well, yeah, so am I. But, so are me and Theo.
But just what you were saying before the show, Paul. It's just there's an indifference now.
I know.
It's just an acceptance of this sort of turgid pain.
Yeah.
That you think, what is the point?
And I don't like this. I don't know about you. I was saying yesterday, I don't like not caring if Tottenham lose. I'm not used to it. And just the way I felt on Sunday, I saw John Cray, our mutual friend, saying, it's not the hope that kills you, it's the indifference. And he's right, isn't it? It's not a nice feeling to have about your football team that you're really invested in.
Well, absolutely. And that's what, unfortunately, that's what Mourinho has done to our team and our club, and unfortunately he's got form. He did it to Manchester United. This is exactly how Manchester United fans were speaking towards the end of his reign there, and I think actually probably towards the end of his second reign at Chelsea there was a strong element of that, and he just saps the enthusiasm and the joy out of it, to be honest.
It's so interesting. Before the game, I was on Sunday. Before the game, there was a quote of him saying, "You know, I believe in these players, and I believe in that they can do it." And you just think, I know what's going to happen after this game. Yeah. He's going to say absolutely the opposite of this. We all know it. It's so obvious, isn't it? Well, I mean, it's not a question, Theo. It's just a bit of a rant.
Yeah. Well, it's a rant I'm familiar with. I mean, the thing is, what you feel with Mourinho, and you don't want to stick the boot in too much. He's a human being like anyone else. But what you feel like is, he's a narcissist, and every single utterance is designed in his mind to make him look better and to make him look blameless and still, you know, omnipotent. But I think it gets to the stage here now, and I think it did at Manchester United, where no one is buying it at all, and we're just waiting. waiting for the inevitable to happen, because it, you know, it's only a question of time, I think. And this cup final is almost a complication in the process.
That did sound a bit like you were putting the boot in there.
You did kick, yeah. We've seen Glenn Hoddle say today in his podcast that he feels that, you know, Harry Kane will have to give some serious thought, as he did, about moving on. And the same way that I don't think there was a great deal of blame apportioned to Glenn Hoddle when he left and went to Monaco, I think if Harry Kane was, I don't want him to, obviously, nor do you, nor do any Spurs fans, but if he were to leave, not as it wasn't to Arsenal, in the summer, I think he'd get a good welcome back. I think most Spurs fans would say, look, of a player of his quality, he probably gave us two, possibly three seasons longer than a lot of other players would have done. And I don't want him to go, but I wouldn't have a beef with him if he did.
Yeah, and that's another sad situation that we find ourselves in, because when you think about it, he signed a six-year contract in 2018. So he would have had no intention of leaving at all. At that point, he would have thought, I'm going to stay here. We're going in the right direction. We're competing at the top end of the table. We can win the title. We can win a Champions League. You know, and in a short space of time, he's concluded, and everyone else has concluded it too, that that is not the case right now. We look like a long way away from that. So I don't think he ever intended to do that. I think he's been forced into a situation that he didn't like. But if he's to realise his potential, and everyone's entitled to try and do that in life, aren't they? He's got to, he feels like, if he feels like he's got to go, and that's what all the signs are, yeah, I absolutely agree. No one's going to blame him, as long as he does it in the right way. That's the other thing. Glenn did it in the right way. Bale did it in the right way. Others have done it not so well. Teddy Sheringham couldn't stop himself saying some nasty things as he left, you know, and Berbatov got on a plane. just left.
And joined a club, you know, he wasn't going to join. Just he took the team down the road.
It was like first ticket to anywhere. Get to Heathrow, get to Stansted and say, I'll go to the next place.
If there was a coach to Yarmouth, he could have been playing for Norwich or something. It could have ended up being that. It would be very interesting. So there is a school of thought that says, give it Ledley and Ryan Mason to the end of the season. It's a madcap scheme, but do you think, I mean, there's no way there's going to be changes now. I think any decision will be made at the end of the season.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think the board will be thinking, first of all, that let's get to the cup final, let's see what happens there. That's what I mean about being a bit of a complication in the delay in the cup final, is it's just been sort of hovering there. And then after that, we've only got a few games left, haven't we? But the way we're looking, I don't think we've got almost no chance of getting in the Champions League, which from Levy's point of view would have been a minimum requirement, really. And we may well miss out on the Europa League, which, I mean, the fans won't cry too much for missing out on the Europa League, but for the financials, it's very bad, you know. So at that point, they might get rid of him, but it's going to cost them, like, what's he going to cost them? 20, 30 million quid just to get rid of him?
I think psychologically, you have to just say you've bought a player who's broken his leg. And that's can I ask, I presume you've had this philosophical debate, would you rather win the Carabao Cup and Jose is still the manager next season, or you lose to City and you don't have Mourinho next season?
That is a brutal question.
It is. I do
absolutely
apologise
brutal
for putting because, you under pressure like that.
Because we're desperate to win a trophy, obviously. And, you know, if we do win it, you'll probably see a grown man cry if you're anywhere near me. I'll be out in the streets sobbing. Yeah. But then, you know, within 5 minutes, I'll realise the awful truth that it might be. But, you know, if I was Levy, I'd still sack him. I mean, you can't keep him on just because he's won, you know, the Carabao Cup. It's a one game. That wouldn't make any sense at all. It'd be irrational to keep him on because he happened to win one game, however we managed to do it. So I've avoided the question.
Yeah, and the award, of course, the European award, is to go in this new competition, which is basically called worse than the Europa League.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a competition that's worse than the Europa League? And Max was asking me, where would they fit that in the schedule? Well, there's only one place, Sunday mornings. It will be. This should be the new home of Sunday morning football, the UEFA Conference League. We'll be on a park in Latvia.
It should be on a park.
You'll probably have to play your first game at the end of April. Your first, there'll be 12 qualifying games.
We won't be able to warm up on the pitch because there's another game happening on the pitch before your game.
That's right.
You have to get straight off after.
You're going to keep hearing shouts during commentary. Over here, mate, give us the ball back.
And there'll be a whistle. Everyone will stop the game next door.
Some bloke's dog runs on. A competition worse than Europa League is our prize at the end of it. Should we beat the mighty City? Anyway, I'll leave you with that, and I thought we'd cheer you up this afternoon.
You really, really, lads, I feel so much better. It's like therapy.
Thank you.
It'll all even itself out, Theo.
Of course, over the course of
course,
a lifetime.
Of course. Mm.
Cheers, Theo. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Yeah, Theo Delaney there from the Spurs Show podcast.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
Keep your ideas coming for jazzing up the 100. They're coming up their own, of course. We're going to have outs, not wickets. And Ben Bloom's going to join us later on. He's had some nice ideas. You glow in the dark, we liked. That would work very well. And having you playing your joker, I think Ben came up with earlier on, we like that, playing your joker, and you pick your over and you get double, it's not runs, it'd be points or goals, I guess.
Double super hit. I haven't thought of it through
double
yet.
Hits.
Hits.
Double
Wollaston hits. Village FC, friends of the show, say Duckworth Lewis will be changed, where you get the captains to decide a weather-affected game by doing impressions of Jack Duckworth or Lewis Capaldi. Best, funniest wins.
That's a nice
idea.
It's a
wonderful idea, isn't it?
Stern. Where does the Duckworth Lewis Stern, of course? where does Stern fit into it? Stern John. You've got to do impression of Stern John from Nottingham. Anyway, that's a possibility.
But, it's really hard. If someone did a brilliant impression of Stern John, would you be able to pick it?
I'm Britain's foremost Stern John impersonator.
Surely the judge has to be Stern John's dad to be like that. Actually does sound like Stern John to
but
me.
But can you imagine if you're really trying to distance yourself from what they consider old cricket, that they would have to decide games by Duckworth Lewis? Imagine some kid who doesn't like cricket coming to this game fresh thinking, the 100, I love it, it's fresh. What's Duckworth Lewis Stern? Anyway, we'll move on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
Worth mentioning that Brexit may get in the way of this, given that that's one of the headlines, because of, you know, the number of points you get depending on what league you have come from.
Yeah.
If you're a player or a manager, as far as I understand it, and the Belgian league isn't sort of in the highest tier.
No.
And also, probably less importantly, I've been checking, there's no direct ferry from Ostend to Hull.
So
I was thinking that's quite close to Sheffield, isn't it? So he'd have to get a ferry to Ramsgate and then drive. And or then he could fly, I guess.
You sound like Alan. You know, we could get the Ramsgate ferry and then, you know, we could drive.
Ferry, Ostend, ferry, Hull, Sheffield, Bosch.
Bang.
Job done.
We thought also, if Blessing's coming, we do need some. If you fancy doing a bit of TV work, you could come out with some TV formats. Blessing this house. Alexander Blessing, exorcism / loft conversions, says Jambo from Redditch. So that's an interesting. What channel would you put something on? Imagine pitching that, which I've sadly had to do in the past. Imagine going into a broadcast and saying, it's a kind of cross, it's loft conversions and exorcisms. I'd just love to see their face, because none of them would give you a straight answer. None of them would say, that's a terrible idea.
No, there are those channels that you know, do sort of home improvement. Improvement in the day, and then they go a bit more, you know, haunted house at night.
Well, I'll say, was it Yvette Fielding, isn't it? And Dion Dublin.
Yeah.
You can cover those two together, making it. Anyway, while Reg Danier is possessed by the devil and his head spinning around, let's go upstairs and see how Dion's getting on with that loft conversion. Thanks, Yvette.
Stairs to the exorcism.
And all you can hear is the most appalling language coming downstairs.
Dion Dublin's head turning around 360
all this
degrees.
Green stuff flying out the window as Dion says, well, I hope I wouldn't have to clear that up. So anyway, you might be onto something. I poo-pooed the idea, fella, but I think you might be onto something.
But once you see, there's no such thing as a bad idea. You have to brainstorm it. Tony said, not Ramsgate. Oh, dear, but I made a mistake.
Oh, okay. You don't know your ferry, do you?
I really don't know my ferry terminals.
Okay. What would be, okay, all we're saying is, what would be the easy, if you've got time on your hands, we clearly haven't got a show to do. If you're going to go from Ostend to Sheffield, be honest, he's not going to commute, is he? He's only ever going to have to do it once.
Might have to commute early. You don't know that, do you?
Okay, what's the best way of doing it?
It's like Winston Bogard, didn't he commute?
Yeah, this is what they want, apparently, working out routes. Jim Shelley says, if the Europa Conference League is on Sunday, it's going to put some people who shall remain nameless out of a job, which probably explains why they are against it. That's very true. He wasn't keen, Jim, wasn't he?
Oh, no. Barry and I, on a Sunday, would happily do live. Yeah. We'd do Match Day Live, the Europa Plate.
That would be good. Yeah. So can you
dirty Europa Plate from Hackney Marshes.
Apart from working out the Ostend-Sheffield route, maybe you would like to to imagine a competition worse than Europa League this afternoon, this Europa Conference League. Can you imagine, what's it going to be like? Give us some blue sky thinking then of what we can expect from the poor man's Europa League. What a sorry world that is.
Ted has been in touch on changing the 100. This is a great idea. Obviously, we're changing wickets for outs.
Yep.
So come on, we need to attract a new audience, an audience that don't really like cricket or know anything about cricket. We're going to lull them in. One player, says Ted, is allowed to be on as many steroids as their body will allow.
Really?
Why not? So it's just like the super hitter comes in at six, he's a giant man.
Well, that
bloodshot eyes.
There is a sport called baseball that generally follows that route, actually, and has over the years. People whose shoe size goes up four times in their 30s, which generally doesn't happen naturally. But maybe baseball's got that covered. Anyway, we move on. And TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ to get in touch this afternoon for the poor man's Europa League and how to get to Ostend. That's right, I'm sorry. How to get from Ostend to Sheffield.
I've actually got a DIY question at some point I want to bring up.
Good,
so
okay.
the show's going to get even...
Marvellous.
Yes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Text here, Max Paul, a lot of clubs also insure the bonuses at Premier League clubs for winning leads, etc., at Lloyd's of London or something. It's a product called contractual bonus insurance.
Right.
So the clubs probably aren't paying that in full. West Ham may have paid a premium to insure that bonus.
Because the insurance company would look at West Ham getting in the Champions League as one worth taking a risk on.
Probably.
Oh, they're going to be laughing the other side of their face now, aren't they?
I'm on a birthday spread bonus.
Yeah, you can imagine Nobes in the dressing room saying, let's show Lloyd's. They don't think we're going to do it, boys. It'd be great. Nobes having a...
The premium's going to go up. There's going to be a Golden Sullivan going to... God, our
Pablo
Champions
Fornell
League...
Pablo Fornell sitting there stewing over an underwriter.
Our Champions League...
Show him.
Our premium's gone way up,
isn't
like it?
Like that. Like he's in a spaghetti western all of a sudden. Yeah.
I think he is.
Yeah.
I think Golden Sullivan furious about their premiums going up. They've got no claims bonuses gone, isn't it, now?
Maybe they didn't underwrite it. Maybe the next thing you cut to, the solid gold statue being removed from David Sullivan's house. It'd be fantastic, and having to flog some of that sort of stuff off to pay for the bonuses. It's unlikely, I would imagine, that the route is underwriters. It's Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on Talk Sport. We spoke about Alexander Blessings. Or Blessin, isn't he? He's Blessin.
Yeah, no G, but he's got an apostrophe.
And we're looking for TV formats for him. He could be taking over at Sheffield United from Ostend. Count your blessings. Various members of Blessings' family run around in a crowded room, and contestants have 30 seconds to count how many of them. Could you see that on telly, really? Whoever sent that one in? I mean, it's got a chance, but I'm not sure I'd watch it. If you attach some talent to it, that's always the thing. If you got talent attached to
Daniel
it.
Daniel says Alexander and Susanna Reid work through his ancestry map. Very similar to who do they think they are, but it's not. It's just about the amount of family. It's no detail. Count your blessings. It's literally just the number of people in Alexander Blessings' family. Not sure what Susanna Reid's just the talent that's been put to it. Reid's Count Your Blessings, where Alexander Blessing counts the number of people he's ever had in his family. It's a marvellous idea.
Great ideas.
ITV2.
Keep them coming. They're all much of a muchness. But TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Nicky Welsh joins us, former Manchester United youth player who's always been drawn back to the club via various weird coincidences. He'll be explaining all in a few moments' time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Max Rushton here on Talk Sport. Nicky Welsh was a youth player at Manchester United. Didn't get signed by Ron Atkinson, but had been a huge Manchester United fan before. And when he was released by the club, he dabbled at other clubs, but couldn't just deal with the fact that he wasn't playing for Manchester United. As such a big fan, he'd rather go and watch Manchester United and give up the game. That's how much of a fan
he
was.
That's a great story.
But his life kept being drawn back to the club through coincidences and more, and he has now told his story in My United Road. Nicky, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, it is an amazing story. So you're at United as a young lad.
Yep.
And hoping to, I mean, when Big Ron says to you, Nicky, we're not going to keep you on, we're not going to give you a sort of pro contract, you say, look, I'll stick around and play for nothing, Gaffer.
Yeah.
You were so keen to stay.
Yeah, it wasn't in the script, really. I mean, from as long as I can remember, as a kid, I was always going to play for Manchester United. That was my dream, and as I say, managed to get an apprenticeship and a year professional, and then I think they ran out of time with me really, and Big Ron said to me, "No, we can't wait forever," and I'm like, "No, you can't do it. You don't have to pay me, you know." And he actually said, "Don't make it harder than it is. No, you've got to go." And as I say, I got released, and it was like the end of the world at the time. I'm thinking, what do I do now? And this was always my dream. And as I say, I got an offer then to go to West Bromwich Albion with Nobby Styles. And then I had this sort of pipe dream that he might, with Johnny Giles, get the job back at United and they'd sign me back on again.
So even going to work with Nobby at West Brom was about getting back to Manchester United.
In my head, I'm thinking there'll be a Brian Robson, Remy Moses and sign me back on the pitch. You know, no. I was always the dreamer, you know.
And was there any part of you thought, I just can't play for anyone else because I might have to play against Manchester United? I wouldn't be able to do it.
A little bit like that, yeah. And I just didn't have the same. I mean, lovely club, West Brom and everything else. I enjoyed it there, so friendly. But when I put the shirt on, it just wasn't the same as putting the red shirt of Manchester United on with the badge, you know.
Now, working with Nobby is the first of those links to the club after you've left the club. And then you take up with a local girl, girlfriend, and she invites you on a family dinner. So what happens next?
Well, she's actually said you're invited for Sunday lunch, and I asked who was going. He said a mum and dad and a sister and Uncle Matt and Auntie Sheena. And I expected Uncle Matt to be a painter and decorator from Withinshaw. And I get there and Uncle Matt's only Sir Matt Busby. I couldn't eat my meal. I was like absolutely gobsmacked, but obviously got to know him very well, which was lovely. And as I say, I'm very fortunate to have been in that position.
It's like karma, isn't it? The club kept drawing you back. It honestly kept saying, and we've got more to come. That's not the end of it. But the club kept drawing you back in, didn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And as I say, it's weird. It's like I got behind the curtain a little bit, and there was like a ghost floating behind, you know. Because a lot of the players that went on, like Mark Hughes and Big Norman Whiteside and lads like that, David Platt, they go on to play in World Cups and everything. And I'm like, as I say, you're mates with them. But I don't have any regrets. That's for sure.
Did you? I mean, I don't want to get too familiar, but did you carry on that relationship longer because Matt Busby was her granddad?
Well, funnily enough, I rang one of my mates who was Billy Garton, who'd got in the first team at United, and there was no mobiles then, and I said to him, "Guess who Uncle Matt was?" And he said, "Who?" And I said, "Matt Busby." He went, "Nicky, the depth you'll go to get a game for United."
Oh dear. And then you're coaching under 13 side. I think your lad's playing in the team.
Yeah.
And a new boy signs up who happens to be the son of?
Yeah, of Sir, well, the grandson of Sir Alex.
But, oh, grandson.
Jason Ferguson's a good friend, and he wanted Jake to sort of play in my team. So he joined. And then, as I say, one of the first games, Sir Alex turns up on the sidelines. Now, anyone that's ran a kids' football team will know the pressures of the parents saying that our Jimmy should be playing centre forward, all that. But when you get Sir Alex turning up, no, he was fine, Sir Alex. It was great, but it was lovely to see him there. On his, if United didn't have a game on a Sunday, he'd be a regular spectator.
He gave you one bit of advice though in a game, didn't he? At half time.
Well, it was halfway through a game and we're getting beat 2-0, and I'd sort of give up, and he sort of grabbed me and said, "Goals change games," and it gave me amazing inspiration. I remember looking in his eyes, and I think, yeah, this is my moment here. So I went and made a few subs, and I was 4-0 down about 10 minutes later. I was scared to walk past him.
Did you say you did this, Sir Alex?
No, I didn't. No. I obviously made the wrong subs.
It's that thing of playing for a club you support and having a chance and dreaming of playing for a club you support. All sort of joking aside, it must have been a pretty tough time for you because you'd put so much into this and wanting to do this. And the fact you couldn't play football really, apart from a little stint abroad, for anybody else, ultimately, you know, it must have been quite difficult for you.
Well, it was really. And as I say, it was a bit surreal in a way. But, it's a long, anyone will tell you, it's a long ladder to the top. And I used to see lads coming from Ireland or Glasgow as a kid as 13, 14, and then they didn't get on. And I was lucky to get up the ladder, but not quite far enough. But, as I say, I don't have any regrets. I've got my memories and I've got my scrapbook for the grandkids. Yeah. And as I say, I can still watch them. They can't stop me watching them.
It's really interesting, though, that because most players, you know, whether they're at the team they support, and quite often, you know, you play for your local side, sort of stop being fans. You know, a lot of players stop being football fans because it becomes their job, and it becomes, you know, then they, you know, obviously they need to earn a living, and they exactly. sort of lose that.
Exactly, yeah. I probably did have the fiery belly when I come to think of it, but because as I say, I remember Norman Whiteside saying to me, if I don't make it here, I'm back home to Belfast to an outside toilet. You know, it didn't matter who he was playing for. He wanted to just succeed, you know. Whereas for me, it was as if it was my local team, and that's... It starts and ends with Manchester United, you know.
Yeah. And so the interesting thing about the book is it's a kind of fan's life before... Yeah. And it's a fan's life before and after your time there. But you mentioned Nobby earlier on. We lost, sadly, recently. And yes. Some of the proceeds of them, you talk about yep. Gordon McQueen in the book as well. Yep. And some of the proceeds of the book are going to support United Against Dementia, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, my own father, who passed away just before Christmas, he had Alzheimer's and been suffering for 14 years. He was an ex-professional, a bit like myself, that never wasn't a household name, but he played at United in the youth team and then went to Blackburn Rovers. So Eric Harrison, who brought us all through the class of 92, he's also suffered and with Alzheimer's. So there's quite a few of the characters in the book, so I felt it was relevant to support the charity, you know.
Excellent. So where can we buy it, Nicky?
Well, it's self-published, but it's out on Amazon. And also the Christopher Eccleston has kindly done the audiobook. His father suffered, and that's out over the next 48 hours. And again, that's on Amazon.
Brilliant. Okay. So,
I've just tweeted out the details, Nicky. And
brilliant.
We'll
yeah,
it's support account as well.
It's been really well supported by everyone, all the ex-players, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, we wish you well with it. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, lads. Thanks for having me on.
Nicky Welsh, My United Road, as he said, is available on Amazon. Yeah, and Christopher Eccleston doing the audio book. But some great stories in there. So
what about that you can only play for the team you support?
Yeah, that's lovely, isn't it? If you're a fan, it's that, you know, it's
how we change football. That was, you know, because then they wouldn't need bonuses, would they? Just say you can only play.
Yeah.
If you'd been good enough, Paul, you could only play for Spurs and no one else.
People who run football clubs, we definitely need a situation in which they've got the whip hand over people who absolutely love the club and will play for nothing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Chatting to Nicky Welsh just there about his love of Manchester United and not really being able to contemplate playing for anybody else. We had somebody get in touch.
Yeah, Tim Cullimore says, I used to play the drum. I used to play my drums after school, hoping Brian Ferry would be on the 64 bus and hear me and ask me to join Roxy Music. What do you mean? Were you playing the drums on the bus, or were you
playing the drums on the bus?
Were you playing the drums as the bus went past, hoping Brian Ferry would be
he'd
on the bus?
Whatever happened, he'd start playing the drums from Love Is the Drug, right, probably just as the bus. But I mean, looking at Brian Ferry, he didn't strike me as the sort of bloke who got a bus.
Maybe Brian Ferry's on this bus.
Maybe in
here.
The early days, but I can't see Brian up the back of this sort of number 73. Can you really? And he hears some drums and think, oh, that kid's good.
That's great logic, though, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, who were you in the
playground?
Yeah.
Who was I in the playground in those days? That's who would I have been in the playground? Blimey, at that sort of era, probably Greavesy when I was very young. Would have been, yeah. I mean, I had any of his attributes as a footballer. Okay. I used to like Mike England was my favourite because he was a centre half and I used to normally play at the back. And I used to love him, the old Spurs and Wales centre half. He was a favourite player of mine as a kid.
Good
what
to
about
know.
You? Were you in the playground?
I was Clive Allen for a bit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was.
It must be weird now because Clive, one of our colleagues here, you see a lot of him. You imagine yourself being Clive, and there you are, sort of working with him.
Now I'm not anymore.
Okay, I don't sit.
I'm not
occasionally.
On a pitch. Scored a header on Saturday, and I didn't think you that didn't was Clive Allen. No, I'm myself.
Do you do that? I mean, do you still see yourself as do you imagine yourself as a great player when you score a goal or not?
No, the truth is, just when I turned 41, that was the moment when I realised I was myself.
When did you stop wheeling away and going, that noise of a crowd?
Oh, no, I still do that.
Oh, you still do that?
That.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I do that after, if I've done a good link or if we've had a good part. I leave the studio, it's not always going to the toilet. I'm just running around. Yeah,
yeah. You do that.
I get right in Durham's Grill. Like, I've just done a great bit.
My money's on Durham's Grill in the 335 at UTOXeter. Right, what else have we got from the Talk Sport?
Is this
listeners?
A vignette section? I've not been informed.
Yeah, we've got. No, I think we've got a bit of time. Our guest will be joining us now a touch later. You're coming up with ideas for the 100. You may have seen the news that the new sort of short form cricket. Don't say cricket. It makes people think it's cricket. The last thing I was making the point earlier on though. If they're so desperate to move away, they want to attract an audience that don't like cricket, then surely part of the attraction is seeing some of the world's best cricketers in this new competition. Why don't they just go out and put an advert in the papers for anybody who was strong, who had good hand-eye coordination? They could then develop their own stars, couldn't they?
They need to be famous in some way.
A lumberjack could suddenly find himself as
a famous lumberjack?
You'd just do wanted. People with good hand-eye coordination... Bryson DeChambeau, they should have signed him.
DeChambeau, Tyson Fury?
Yeah, they should have just signed a few people like that, because then you're not... There's those, you know, those links to cricket, which I think is dragging everybody down, isn't it?
Problem, yeah. What about a reality show? A reality show to get the teams.
Yeah.
So some cricketers could enter, but then also you have the lumberjack, you know, I'm Jeff, I'm a lumberjack.
Because the last thing we want to do is... The last thing we want is cricket fans turning up at the 100. That's the last thing we want, isn't it, really? People like cricket.
When I first saw the idea of changing wickets to outs, I sort of thought, well, that's ridiculous. But actually, I don't mind.
Stop me going.
No, and I'm quite interested to see how it works. And if it does, the language of cricket is confusing, isn't it? I mean, it is. Silly point is confusing.
Yeah.
If you think about a football formation where the players are on the pitch, right back is sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Centre back, centre forward. You can look at that and go, fair enough. So point, silly point. Fine leg. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. So actually, maybe we are the Luddites in this situation.
No, I think the idea of sort of making it jargon free is not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But I mean, ultimately, you know, you've kind of got to like the fundamental sport. You can dress it up how you like. You've still got to like cricket, haven't you? And if you don't like cricket at the moment, we'll demystifying some of the jargon and changing some names of stuff.
The boss has been in touch. Says my 5-year-old calls spinners the dizzy bowlers. I haven't checked it with Gareth Batty yet, but it might catch on.
Well, we can add that to the mix along with hit and run and six and out.
I thought the captain should be called an influencer because that's a very popular word.
No, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
And that'll really get people
Owen
thinking.
Owen Morgan, the influencer.
The influencer.
I like that.
Stuart Weir's been in touch to say, could the box be lots of people have come up with suggestions for the box, but Stuart says the inheritance defender for the box. And Eddie says dustbins for stumps, maximum 5 over per whacker, chucker, a chucker, backstop at either end to take dependent where the ball is after he chucks it. 1 to 2 minutes between chucks.
See, all we're doing is replacing one lot of jargon for another, aren't we? It might be sort of slightly more modern. But, I'm not altogether sure.
Jim Shelley says the GC playing that. I mean, Andy Jacobs could pick some star players.
Slow left arm.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Rita Ora. He'd like to get Rita in, wouldn't he?
Okay, yeah.
Because then we get some stories for the show. Rita Ora and the GC.
But all I'm saying is, if you're enticing people to this game with the world's best cricketers, it ultimately could be, but at the moment, some of the best cricketers around the world. So there has to be a certain amount of knowledge of cricket to appreciate that you want to go and see.
I don't think you need that at all.
You want to go and see these guys play.
I absolutely think it's a total free-for-all. People don't need to, it's a need-to-know basis.
Okay,
fair
enough.
You tell some people it's cricket, you tell other people it isn't cricket. Can I, some breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
Matt has been in touch to say, it says, tell Angry Head, which I believe was David.
The bloke got very annoyed that we didn't know the way
from... How simple it was to get from Ostend to
Sheffield, because the new Sheffield United manager apparently... Alexander Blessing will have to make that journey.
He doesn't fly. Like Dennis Bergkamp doesn't fly.
Make that journey.
How do you know?
You're just making it up now, aren't you?
Matt says, tell Angry Head to pipe down. Zeebrugge ferry's no longer running to Hull due to COVID. Rotterdam only to Hull. So he's got from Ostend to Rotterdam. It's hardly worth bothering taking the job now for Blessing, isn't it? And then we can't do the TV formats for Alexander Blessing.
Yeah.
So this is really, the pandemic really has hit in now.
It certainly has. Mm-hmm. We're looking for TV formats for Alexander Blessing. And Mark Carter says, it's a blessing.
Right.
In this very limited BBC Two series, each week Alexander looks through and never mind the Buzzcock style identity parade, picking out members of his family that he's lost touch with over the years. So people there need to say, hang on, It's Auntie Rita. Yeah, that is quite limited. I can't see it taking off, Mark. But thank you very much for that.
Oh, yes, indeedy. Blessing with my head. Classic Saturday night ITV show where Alexander Blessing wears a full head mask of people in their workplace to see how long their colleagues don't notice. If he goes the whole day, the contestants win a cash prize.
Wow.
ITV primetime. Well, hang on. There is that show at the moment, which is Guess Whose House This Is. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
That's going. Anything can happen, can't it?
Anything can happen. Talksport.com.
How do you get on to be the person whose house it isn't? Like, who's walking down the street going, this isn't your house. Do you mind just filming? Do they win a prize? If they can convince, you know,
it's all celebrities, isn't it? If someone's going to chuck a few grand at you to pretend it's not your house, you're not going to say no. If work's a bit quiet, are you? Would you do it?
Of course. I'm desperate to get back
Soccer
on the
AM's Max Rushton.
this is my house, everybody. If somebody, trust me, it's my house.
Somebody chucks you a few grand to pretend something isn't your house, you're not going to say no, are you?
I do in my house have a... When I turn the shower on now, or I flush the toilet.
Is this the DIY question?
Yeah. Is this the time for it?
Do you lose pressure? Do you flush the toilet and get in the shower? There's slightly...
Do you want to save it till after three? Save it till after three,
This is a hell of a tease you've left us. Yeah. This one for all the DIY boys out there. I'm interested to know what happens when you put your shower on and flush your toilet.
Ian in Wales says, Brian Ferry on a bus, that's nothing. I was such a huge James Bond fan that I'd randomly dive over hedges and walls in the hope that Cubby Broccoli was driving past and signing for the next feature.
Maybe this is a common thing. Let us know. This is off Nicky Welsh telling us about Manchester United. And his love of it. This is the common thing. So things you did as a kid thinking it's only a matter of time before I get picked up. How you thought you'd get spotted. Let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talksport.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, news emerged yesterday that wickets in the new short format game that gets underway in just under 100 days' time will be called outs. They want to get rid of some of the cricket jargon that maybe doesn't make sense to this new thrusting young audience they hope to bring in to the game. It's been met with a bit of stick, as you can imagine, as the idea of the 100 generally. But as Nick Holt saying in the Telegraph today, you know, they've probably decided... Well, look, cricket traditionists aren't going to like it anyway, so we might as well just go a bit mad and mess with things a bit. And Simon Heffer in today's Telegraph saying this will both alienate fans and fail to attract a new audience. So, yeah, traditionists were never going to like it. But maybe we should explore some other innovations for the new format. Ben Bloom was doing just that on the back page of the Telegraph Sport today. He joins us now. Good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon.
I can sort of see the logic to an extent, can't you? You know, if you're thinking, well, look, you know, Simon's not going to come along, is he? It's not for him. Let's go for this new audience and let's push it and let's change some of the jargon that may alienate people.
Yeah, look, this tournament is not for the fans of Test match cricket, the people that have grown up and loved the longest form of the game. They know that people like Simon Heffer are not going to like it. So they think, sod it. Why do we need to stick with all of these confusing terms like wicket, which wicket means so many different things in cricket. I do understand it is incredibly confusing if you're coming to the game and you don't understand what a wicket is or looks like or might possibly be. Describing a dismissal as an out is going to stick in a lot of people's throats.
You've got two ways of approaching it, really. You can do what they're trying to do, which is to change some of the jargon, or you can do what sort of Ed Chamberlain was keen to do on ITV Racing, which is kind of explain it. You know, try not to be patronising for those that know, but for those that don't, explain it. So you could look to sort of educate people and go down that route, but this is obviously what they've decided not to do.
Exactly. That's the thing that I think most people that are existing cricket fans are a bit put out about. They would say this sport has existed for however many decades, hundreds of years. Some of the terminology is confusing. So let's explain it to people. You don't just rip up the terminology. You can tweak formats, one day cricket, T20 cricket, now the 100 cricket. But to suddenly remove all of the terminology that the sport is founded on. It's an interesting decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's almost as if, and Paul's alluded to this, that they're sort of trying to lull people who don't like cricket into going to watching cricket, and they will find out eventually that it's cricket.
With the draw being great cricketers that you wouldn't know unless you like cricket.
exactly. Look, this is going to live and die on the big names doing big things, you know, fireworks, hitting long sixes, bowling really fast, that type of stuff. It doesn't really matter what it's called. That's going to be a mark of its success or not.
Does it stop at outs? Are there other phrases that they're going to change and bring in?
The other terminology that they've said they're going to change, which is totally understandable, is changing batsman to batter. Obviously the 100 is for men and women, and anecdotally a lot of women female cricketers would like it changed to batter, so that makes sense.
Sure.
As far as we're aware, that's it for now, but who knows how far it's going to go.
We like some of your ideas today. We like six and out, the sort of stuff we used to do at sort of when we played in the park or in the playground or whatever. Six and out, you've gone with. Hit and run, we liked as well. These are all quite familiar with people who played cricket as kids. Allow bowlers to bend their arms. I mean, that would be... I mean, it's basically baseball, isn't it?
About half the pitches in the sea, like beach cricket? You know, someone who's a square leg, which will be called something else, obviously, will be sort of knee-deep in the sea. That would be good.
Well, we've had some interesting ideas coming in from the listeners.
JC says a defensive shot should be called a disgrace. Will you just look at that disgrace?
Every forward defensive is booed.
Leach has got to play disgracefully here and let Stokes take the strike.
Yeah, that would be... Also, somebody made the point, you know, in the new 100, does the game stop around the seventh wicket and then everybody stands up and sings a song? The equivalent of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, like the seventh inning stretch. I suppose you'd paraphrase the 10cc song. You'd just sing, I don't like cricket. That's it. You just wouldn't finish it off.
Do you think there is a... do you think, Ben, there is a... You know, there is that fear about Test cricket disappearing. I mean, it does seem possible. I love Test cricket. I'm sure you do. It is the best form of the game for me. But I don't have a problem with new formats of cricket. I think it's okay. Like, you can like more than one thing.
Yes, completely. I have grown up with Test cricket. I love Test cricket. For me, it'll always be the number one form of the game. That's not true for different people of different generations. Certainly, the youngest generation and people that the ECB hope are going to be attracted to the 100. They will like shorter, sharper, snappier forms of the game that you know, see bigger hits. It all just comes down to hit the ball really, really far and throw it as fast as you can. I think that's what the ECB want to attract young people.
Yeah. I mean, we're watching the IPL at the moment. It's on our screens. And, you know, that's probably the best quality, you know, white ball cricket you'll see anywhere. So isn't it kind of doing that anyway? If it's our equivalent, couldn't you do that within the context of cricket? This is the thing. It's, I'll go and watch 100 cricket, but I like cricket. Max will, you will. But will this new audience, all these people who've sat in these focus groups and said, well, if we did this and we did that, would you come? And they've gone, yeah, probably would. I mean, do you know what I mean, Ben? I'm not altogether sure those people are there. We could be proved wrong, but we'll see, I suppose. But do you think they're there?
No, I don't. I don't think there is this cohort that have looked at T20 cricket and gone, that's not for me.
It goes on and a bit too long for me. That's right. Yeah, it's a bit tedious. Yeah.
And then the 100 comes on the screen. They go, oh, yeah, this is what I've waited for, getting rid of those extra 20 balls.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's going to be the case. Ultimately, it comes down to the ECB didn't have a profitable franchise league in England. India has that. Australia has that. Other countries around the world has it. So England thought, well, we can try it, or we can try something a bit different.
Is, if they hadn't changed it to outs, we wouldn't be talking about it for another 10 minutes.
Well, I suppose
a few people might think, okay, well, I will turn it on.
Somebody's sitting in the ECB's PR department saying, job done.
We've done
10 minutes on TalkSport.
They're opening the champagne now, aren't they?
4 pages in the Telegraph, job's a good one. Ben, thank you very much. I'll see you at the 100 because we'll all be there.
See you there.
There we are, this Ben Bloom. But, you know, they've got me. They've got to go and watch any cricket. I don't care.
Anthony says, make a rule like the last card rule in Uno, where you have to announce it. Make it that it's the responsibility of the batsman to say it when running, then remain out of their crease until they do so. I don't play Uno.
No, nor do I, mate, I'm afraid. I don't. A lot of footballers do, don't they? It's a bit of a
footballer's listening, Ben Foster, if you're listening, what does that mean?
Bat should be called blades, says Ben today. If you call it, you know, a great shot off. Yeah, that's a great shot off of his blade. Bat's reduced in size. It goes back Bradman became brilliant by sort of fending off the ball with a...
Don't we want bigger bats? What about smaller bats for everyone except the steroid man or woman who has an enormous bat.
Steroid man. Call for steroid man. I like the idea from the listener earlier on who said they did that when they were living in Thailand, the playing your joker. So you could choose an over. You'd say our 12th over, we want to play a joker on that one. There might be a batsman comes in who's a big hitter.
I agree. David has been in touch to apologise for coming across as angry about telling me how to get from Ostend to Sheffield. He said it was sheer frustration at yet another north of Watford gap ignorance. Then he says Rotterdam is a good option. Thanks, David.
Good.
Appreciate
so we won't talk about that apropos of nothing. Sheffield United's new manager could be coming from Ostend. So that's
if they're not listening to the whole show, Paul, they don't deserve to know.
Keep up or anyway, we'll move on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. Yeah. We do it all again tomorrow, don't we?
Yeah,
if selected. Thanks for listening. If you can join us on One Great tomorrow, if not, the podcast will be available around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.